Great pleasure to come and speak with you today. I did my training in records and archives, so I feel like I'm in very good company. One of the great things I think about working for ANZ Bank was I also got to be the owner of the ANZ Banking Museum. So I actually got to have some fun while actually managing the records, which was my other 95% of the role. But today we wanted to talk about what are we really doing with data in New South Wales? And it's not just in New South Wales. We're also now talking, obviously, not only with the Commonwealth Government, but also with the other states in Australia. So a little bit of the play on words there, state of data. So firstly, the information team. So we exist, as we said, within the Policy and Innovation Department, underneath Information and Digital Government. The information team's responsibility is the policy and governance initiatives that drive the better creation, collection, protection now, and use of data. And being records people, you know, you think about that life cycle or the continuum. Our job is to, you know, come up with the policies that help government to apply those correctly, but also to try and swing that pendulum to be an advisory team cross government. As part of that, we maintain the information management framework, which was created 2 years ago, as well as driving initiatives for open data, shared data, and cybersecurity, which I'll cover in more detail in the next few slides. The team works very closely with the State Records Authority on the initiatives impacting data, especially Data New South Wales, which is the site by which we share open data, and provides that catalogue of what information is currently available to the public. So open data. New South Wales, the open data policy requires agencies to release better data in more accessible and consumable formats with good metadata and quality statements. So people can not only just get their hands on the data, they can understand it more easily, and they can understand any quality concerns that might exist with the data, so they can take that into account in any analysis that they might be doing or use of. Getting data faster using automated processes. So again, a big driver of Minister Dominello is that open data shouldn't be something that happens once a year off the back of an annual reporting process. It should be real time, or at least as near to real time as possible, so that people have got the right facts in front of them. And more data, so making it more discoverable through central portals. So it's not just the Data New South Wales site, it's also helping tie into the SEED site, which is being created by the Office of Environment and Heritage, working with our teams in Spatial to overlay that data onto New South Wales maps. That policy is supported by an action plan. We've got 23 projects due for delivery through to December 2017 on the action plan, and a team of seven. So hence I look this haggard after week eight in the job. The hair loss was prior to getting here, but it's not getting any better. What have we already done? So we've delivered a data request service, a charter of rights for open data users, which was a big piece of work to do. A checklist for establishing the value of a data set, and that checklist is being revised as well at the moment. An open data blog so that we can actually get feedback on the data that we have sent out, get people's ideas, and we're going to improve that with the development of something through till June next year, which is the data marketplace or D-marketplace, which will give us more usability controls, ability for people to actually provide more feedback on individual data sets and like quality elements and things like that. And the metadata and quality statements themselves, which, as I said, you can see through Data New South Wales. What are we still working on? So an open data maturity scorecard. So rather than just saying to people, right, you know, the policy's over here on the pendulum side of the world, you need to do this because the policy says so. It's actually moving that to giving people advice, methods, patterns of usage that say, depending on the data you've got, this is how you might look at it, score it against a maturity scorecard, and then choose the best way to release and handle that data in the future. So is it an API? Is it a manual release methodology? Actually giving people practical advice on how to achieve open data and not just, you know, stand there with a stick. The partnership model for open data investment is a very large one. There is a lot of discussion about how commercially valuable the data that New South Wales government has, and it's not the government's intent to make money out of data, but certainly there's a lot of services that we wrap around things that do drive that. One of my favourite ones, hopefully this will work better than it did at Sydney University last week. How many people in the room have heard of fuel check? Oh, thank goodness. Out of a room of 35 academics, one person put their hand up, and that didn't count because it was Roxanne from the Information Privacy Commission. Talk about a failed room. So one of the things that we do is that data is available for download off FuelCheck if you want to make use of the data. If you actually want to write an app that takes real-time data out of there, there is a service fee for using that app, the API, because we have to maintain the hardware and the serviceability and service levels of that. So it's about the data availability that's commercialized, not the data. Open data is about making data open, free, accessible, and usable so that we can not just solve those problems that the government knows it has today, we can actually have people helping to solve problems we don't even know we have yet. Sharing data. Now, this one is not actually driven by a government initiative as yet, but there have been in a number of committees and agreements at the Secretary's Board drivers to actually produce more information about and guidance around how we share data between agencies. And an extension of that to start thinking about how we would then extend that beyond the agencies. So for the university people here, how would we make data shared available to research groups, to hackathons, and our, as we say, the citizen scientists who can actually start to really make better use of the data, or I shouldn't say better, but more use of the data than we're actually making use of it ourselves. So what we're doing right now around that is to improve the willingness within government to share data between agencies and improve the technical capability to do so. We're looking at this through defining a multi-agency memorandum of understanding so that rather than every time two agencies share data, they have to write an MOU. This is a blanket memorandum of understanding so that we can look at the schedule and say, is the purpose for which that data is to be shared already covered underneath the schedule? Yes, it is. We're great. We're good to go. At the moment, MOUs tend to be very time frame, so we'll share that data for the next 3 months, but at the end of that, then there's no agreement. Now, the MOU is not a contract. It's not a legal document you take to court, but it does at least make sure that the right people in the room have signed an acknowledgement of what the data is being used for, and we have something to share with the IPC so that they can see how we're actually applying information controls and privacy controls as well. And a big part of that is that privacy impact framework, and we're working very closely with the IPC on developing that. I seem to spend half a day a week there at the moment, which is a great relationship for us to have. And as they are also looking at becoming more consultative across New South Wales government, it's great that we're going to start actually coming up with a single message and moving that message together. So the whole of government approach to data, and I didn't know that Damon was going to be speaking, so I think I might be getting in first. Great. It's also really good, unfortunately, that I will have to leave shortly after this, so I won't be here to actually have Damon point to me when I steal his thunder. ICT is a key sector of New South Wales economy. It drives productivity, it drives jobs, and it creates new technologies. We have an innovation incubation centre down at the Rocks called Stone and Chalk. That one I think less people may have heard of. But this is where startup companies can get housed so they can get some space, they get computers, they get some funding to really get kicked off and let them actually grow those ideas. Very strongly backed by New South Wales government. I spent half a day down there yesterday, some amazing things coming out of those ideas. And it does come from the fact that 92% of Australians now have access to the internet, 10.7 million users going online more than once a day. I think my wife is dragging those standards up a little, but that's okay. This year, New South Wales government has put $69 million into driving whole of government strategies, achieving better service delivery across ICT. And I've added a few things about what we're doing with Service New South Wales, because again, it's one of those really close relationships within DFSI. The original strategy was designed in 2012. It's already delivered a number of reforms across ITC, as well in investment, procurement, so singleization around an iProcure capability, information management and sharing being the framework and the work that the information team is doing, around open government and open data, which again is within the policy and innovation. That's and open government is now something my team's taking on as of next year. And also trying to drive an improvement of just ICT skills and innovation. So the Data Analytics Centre, which many people may have heard of, this is actually covered by its own legislation, which is the Data Sharing Act, or the DAC Act. Could someone have come up with something better than that? That group actually was formed by the information team, going out to people such as yourselves, a wide variety across all of government, finding a need, driving a business case to create a group and creating that new group so that they can solve those all of government problems that take data from 5, 6, 7 different areas of government and do it quickly and get the sort of results that the ministers have been looking for. The strategy is being rewritten this year. So there was a follow-on strategy, which was 2016 plus, and now the New South Wales Government Digital Strategy is being put together, I believe, being released next year. It is about making us responsive. It is about making us agile and able to deliver those services more quickly. And it isn't about government building things. That's the thing we're really trying to get away from. It's one of Damon's big drivers. If we can partner with someone else to build it, if we can find something that already exists, let's use that. Because a lot of these developers and these innovation centres who are building things, they are our customers. Right? They're thinking of the things that we should be thinking about. So transaction data, how are we transacting data? Mainly through Service New South Wales. So over the last 12 months, about 12 million digital transactions have been completed through Service New South Wales. First government agency in Australia to actually adopt Google's cashless Android Pay service, and I only tried it 2 weeks ago, but it does work. This year's budget, $415 million, allocated to expand access of services through New South Wales regional and metropolitan networks and deliver major digital initiatives. Some of those initiatives are looking at, you know, how do we do better identity management, digital licensing, and so on. Nearly 18,000 license renewals completed through the digital channel now, so people don't have to go to an office to update their license. They can do it online. And there's a lot more services to be rolled out in the next 18 months, and we're already talking about the things that might be rolled out even after that with people like Fax and Health Services and others. And My Service New South Wales, again, so, you know, making things more digital, getting more information online. So our team was very involved in making sure that we reviewed the legislative requirements. There were no policy or regulatory issues with going online, and if there were, how did we address those? So a one-touch online account for transacting with government provides that single account where users have that online one-stop shop for New South Wales transactions, removing the need to have multiple digital profiles and passwords to access accounts. This month, they reached their 750,000th account, and they're well and truly ahead of schedule with that. And it's important that it's not... it is an opt-in capability. People create an account and then they say which government services they want to opt in. And there is, you know, a lot of motion and activity at the moment to say, how do we actually improve that further? How do we get it to a point where once you've identified yourself to one agency, you can be identified to all the agencies? You don't have to take those 100 points everywhere you go. Storing data, so another initiative that was driven from information, but also from the ICT part and Jeremy Tucker's area. So the GovDC service, or the Government Data Centre, has been created. We have 2 data centres now to provide that backup capability. And it is there to provide that future government ITC infrastructure and allow workload to cloud-base. So a cornerstone of the initiative is their digital marketplace, which is their purchasing marketplace. And that extends them then beyond that kind of state-of-the-art data centre and creates a larger ecosystem. So what it is GovDC will do is actually look at solutions and decide, can we actually host that on an internal cloud network, which they've built? Are we happy with that being hosted on an external cloud network? And we have a cloud policy, which is, again, thank goodness, being up for review next year. And that will really strengthen people's understandings of when, not only what cloud is and what controls we need as to whether your platform as a service, software as a service, or full outsourcing, but also to drive a better again, swing that pendulum to advice. So give people a decision chart and something to understand, when is external cloud okay? When should we actually be maybe looking at internal cloud? When should we be really careful about what we're doing with that data and maybe looking at more solid services? And it also allows then agencies to buy services from trusted suppliers. So one of the things that we get asked quite a lot around cloud is, I've been approached by this cloud provider, it looks really good, can I use them? And if it's someone we haven't heard of, there's a lot of things that need to be done to make sure they comply with all of the New South Wales government controls. If you actually go with a provider who's off the list, those controls have been embedded into the agreements. They're already part of the ongoing assurity process that happens with those vendors. So by choosing someone from the list, you immediately make your delivery path and your life that little bit easier. Protecting the data. This one is kind of close to my heart because we're right now in the middle of a whole of government review of cybersecurity. So the government has always had a strong focus on digital information security. We've implemented policies, which is the DISP, the Digital Information Security Policy, to ensure that the information that we do hold as a government is appropriately protected. The initiatives at the moment are used to promote that ability and that security across private sectors, non-governments. We speak with a lot of universities. So last week I was actually at the Cybersecurity Network at Sydney University. 2 weeks from now I'm going to the Cyber Centre at Macquarie. The government encourages all of our vendors, integrators, operators to use best possible endeavours around security to make sure that there are no vulnerabilities in their products. And we do that again through those controls by making sure that when they're on the panel, they've been fully vetted for these things. But 2016, we're starting that review. 2017, there will be some actions and activities come out of the new digital strategy to really drive us from information security to cybersecurity. And people often use the terms interchangeably, and it's probably not correct. Information security, though it wasn't intended this way, has come to mean the engine room. So it's how do you actually secure the information, the boxes, the hardware, the networks, the perimeters, the communications. But 86% of effective hacks today are actually caused through phishing emails, which are engineered off information that people put quite readily all over their Facebook pages. So they're getting very good at getting in. And it's not just, and we talk about the data supply chain, so it's not just the fact that someone in government's going to get a phishing email. There was an attack on Target a couple of years ago. They got 700,000 credit card numbers. Had people heard of that one? What they did was they looked at all the suppliers who go to Target and they found an air conditioning company and they sent a phishing email there and someone clicked on it and that got them onto the air conditioning company server system. From there, that air conditioning company logged into the payments gateway because they transact their contracts and payments and that got them into the back door of Target. From the payments gateway, they got to the point of sale system, and that's where they harvested the numbers. So it's not just your security you've got to worry about now. It's all the people who are upstream from you as well. How are we innovating data? So New South Wales government's supporting a lot of disruptive ideas by reshaping government services delivery models to focus on the customer, encourage public sector innovation, as I spoke about Stone and Chalk earlier. New technologies such as the Internet of Things, sensor technologies, creating opportunities to innovate. And I added this part, as well as a heck of a lot of challenges for records managers. And we'll talk about one of the big ones on the next slide. So the new whole of government digital strategy is currently being developed to accelerate that digital transformation, making use of these innovations. And while that innovation is focused on the customer experience and delivery of service, we have not lost sight of the fact there are considerations across the entire information lifecycle, from creation and collection right through to archival disposal. Right, so those things are not far from our mind, and we do talk a lot with our state records colleagues on how we make sure that the data that we have is kept as long as it's needed and disposed of at the end. And that gets really hard when we talk about blockchain, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard of. So the use of blockchain is being investigated as part of the digital government agenda. So blockchain, for those who don't really know, it's a data structure that makes it possible to create a digital ledger of transactions and share it among a distributed peer-to-peer network of... I'm not sure that made it any easier. So when we first started to create databases, we would have a database server in one place, and everyone from everywhere would have to connect to that one machine to do it. And it was slow because we had slow bandwidth. When we then got from the fact of, you know, mainframes back down to client servers, we'd have a hub and spoke of databases that then had to keep each other synchronized. What blockchains give us is a blockchain is a small, tiny database that has in it the information it needs to achieve the role for the person who has it. So now you have 100 databases with a similar data structure, but they're not all synchronized with each other. They've all got different components of the data, and they come back together to the data miners, the block owners, who actually then get a view of it. So we need to ensure that the application of blockchain within government is in accordance with laws and regulations, but we also need to make sure that we've got the right policies and standards around making sure that they give government what they need, privacy controls are met. And one of the interesting points of blockchain, and one of the things you'll see said on the internet a lot, is that no one person owns the data at any one time. Blocks are being updated, not synchronized all over the place. So for a records manager trying to say, how do I actually retain that data for the next 25 to 30 years, that becomes complex. And one of the things that we have done in looking at our innovation partners is say, how do we actually put something around there that harvests a total set of the data so that we can actually store it off to meet records and archival needs? And that's part of the investigation being done right now. So I thought that was an interesting one because a lot of people look at blocks. I'm not sure a lot of people have respected the records complexities the blockchain actually brings up for us. But the fact that it's not something that, you know, we're going to race into a technology without thinking about the longer term aspects of the data. Appreciate the time and the offer to come talk to you. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Bob.